2 Corinthians 8. This is such a needful subject. I heard my pastor deal with this years ago, and consequently we dealt with it also here. Have dealt with it a couple of times. And then recently I heard it again during the Bible study time up there in Kentucky. My pastor spoke to all of us on this subject again, the subject of giving. Giving. We're dealing with scriptural things, means of grace, needful things. Last Wednesday night we looked at prayer. I hope that was a blessing to you. It was to me. And I hope this is a blessing to you as well. It was to me and some of you who heard it. Such a needful thing. There's several words here in this chapter about giving. And I haven't consulted the finances. I haven't talked to the treasurer. And that's not the reason I'm doing this. I have no idea. We may be in the black or maybe in the red. I don't know. Don't answer. But I just felt impressed to get this because I was blessed and an inspiration to me, and I believe it will be to you. Giving is proof or an evidence of a work of grace in someone's heart. Giving is a proof or evidence of the work of grace in someone's heart. Selfishness is natural to the natural man, isn't it? You don't have to teach your children to be selfish. That comes natural. We're sinners, and that's what we do. We do things for ourselves. But when God Almighty does a work of grace in someone's heart, a regenerated man, a woman, a young person, He makes them gracious. They no longer think of themselves. They begin to think of others. You didn't get to hear this. You were teaching the class. Good. It's proof of the work of grace in someone's heart. All right, look at verse 8, in 2 Corinthians chapter 8, verse 8. He says here, it's proof of your love. Verse 8, I speak not by commandment, but by occasion of the forwardness of others, or that is, the example of others, to prove the sincerity of your love. Prove the sincerity of your love. Giving proves your love. True love. Love for Christ, love for the gospel, love for people. Giving proves that. 1 Corinthians 13. Nearly all of us know that chapter, don't we? The theme of that chapter is charity. Right? All the way through, 1 Corinthians 13 talks about charity. Now, what do we think of when we think of the word charity? What do we think of? Giving. Well, the Bible, when it uses the word charity, it's talking about what? Death. What do you see? What I'm saying? What the Bible calls love, we call giving. Well, they are, they're synonymous. You can't have one without the other. You can't have love without being giving. And true giving proves love. It's synonymous. Isn't that ironic, isn't it? No, it's providential. All right. Paul used the church, excuse me. Paul used the church at Macedonia, verse 1 here in chapter 8, which is the church at Philippi. He used them as an example. Look at verses 1 through 4. He says, brethren, we do you to wit, or I want you to take note of the grace of God. Now, he gives the glory and credit where it's due. The grace of God bestowed on the churches of Macedonia. Now here's how he showed us, here's the grace that he bestowed. All right, verse 2. How that in great trial of affliction, though they were in affliction and trouble and tribulation and even poverty, it says the abundance of their joy and even deep poverty abounded unto the riches of their liberality. That is, they freely gave, liberally gave, abounded. Verse 3. To their power I bear record, yea, and beyond their power they were willing of themselves. They gave above and beyond what it seemed like they were able to do. And verse 4 says, they prayed us, or that is, they entreated us. They prayed us with much entreaty. They just insisted. Sounds like Paul, they gave a great gift to the Apostle Paul and others to distribute as they saw need. And the Apostle said, they can't afford this. And he may have said, this is a liberal gift. Now, we insist. Don't take it. Please. Don't offend us in not taking it. Paul said, they entreated us. They wanted to minister to the saints beyond their ability. Look back at 1 Corinthians 16. 1 Corinthians 16. I like this. 1 Corinthians 16, verse 15. He talks about the house of Stephanas. So I beseech you, brethren, you know the house of Stephanas. That it is the first fruits of Achaia. That is, some of the first believers in Achaia. Of this house of this man named Stephen, and they've addicted themselves to the ministry of saints. They're plumb addicted to it. They just got to do it. I like that. Addicted to it. Well, look back at the text again now, 2 Corinthians 8, verses 5 through 7. So he says, this they did. Not as we had hoped, but first gave their own self, or that is, not as we had, you know, not only what we had hoped, but more. Gave their selves to the Lord and unto us by the will of God. That's important. They first gave themselves, and not only their goods. Verse 6, insomuch that we desired Titus as he had begun, so he would also finish in you the same grace also. Read on. Therefore, as you abound in everything, in faith and utterance and knowledge and all diligence, you know the gospel. You're bound in this knowledge of the gospel and so forth. And your love to us, see that you abound in this grace also. This church has been greatly, greatly blessed with the gospel. And very few churches have been blessed like this church has been blessed. With the gospel. Now, I don't talk about this man. I'm talking about, you think of the myriads of men, gospel preachers, and saints, people who have passed through this life. We've entertained many angels, and we were aware of it. Not angels unaware, we were well aware of some of the angels we've entertained here. So he says to us, and I say to us and me, that we need to abound in this grace also, not only just knowledge of the gospel and so on, but in this grace. All right. And now this is the first word. I'm giving you several Bible words about giving, and this is the first word, grace. Look at verse 9. You know the grace of our Lord Jesus Christ, that though he was rich, yet for your sakes he became poor, that ye through his poverty might be rich. Grace. What does the word grace mean? What does the word grace mean? Gift. Gift. That's what it means. We named our daughter Hannah, which is the old Hebrew word for grace, which means gift, because God gave her. He We weren't expecting it. We didn't deserve it. He gave it to us. It's a gift. Grace means gift. Everything we have is a gift, isn't it? What you have not received. It's grace. By the grace of God, we are what we are, have what we have. It's all been freely given us.
Great.
All right? And as in everything, Christ is our supreme example.
He has the preeminence in all things.
He is
our motive, too,
in this thing.
The grace.
And that's what he says here. You know the grace. Did he love his people?
How did he prove it?
Gave.
Did he?
How much? Himself.
All that he is.
All that he was. Christ, Scripture says, is full of grace.
Grace personified.
He gave himself. Gave himself, thus proving his love to his God and to his people. And when the love of God,
the grace of God
is in a man or a woman or a young person, they are gracious. And I'm not saying this so much that what we ought to do, though it is.
It is in God's people.
It's either there or it's not.
God's people are either gracious or they're not.
God's either done a work of grace, and then that grace comes out, or it's not there. They're gracious, they're giving, they're charitable, they're liberal. And this is what they say.
First word is grace.
This is what they say. What do I have that I have not? And then the Lord said, so,
you freely receive?
Didn't he say, freely receive? Then do what?
If you really get
received.
Freely.
Freely
or liberally.
That's your son. All right, look at the next word. Verse 8. I speak not by commandment.
In other words, you can't make somebody do this. That's not the purpose. And it'd be law, wouldn't it?
It wouldn't be grace at all. Now, God makes us do it. He
gives more grace.
He gives this grace. We're going to see that in a moment. How he's able to make this grace abound in you. If you don't feel these workings right now and you desire this grace, ask him and he'll get more grace. All right, look at verse 8. Prove the sincerity of your love. That's the next word, love.
And we've already
mentioned that. My pastor gave this definition of love years ago. And it's still one of the best I've ever heard. Apart from the Scripture. A man given definition. He said, love seeks to bestow the best that it has on the object of its love. You get that?
Love, real love,
seeks to bestow
the best
that it has on the object of its love.
Perfection. In other words, if I love somebody,
I want to be the best.
Best I give, the best I have.
What's the best or what's the most that I have?
Everything I have.
Right?
Best I have, everything I have.
And all that I am.
Huh?
In Ephesians 5. Turn over to Ephesians 5. Look at this.
Ephesians 5. And look carefully with me at this.
Ephesians 5. All right,
I told you we're
seeking to be followers of
Christ,
and all through Ephesians here. Look at verse 32 in the chapter 4.
Be ye kind
one to another, tenderhearted, forgiving one another, even as God for Christ's sake
has forgiven you.
You see how that Christ is the motive.
Christ is the example.
Christ is the rule in everything, not the law.
Christ is the rule.
our example, our motive and everything. As He's forgiven us, we forgive, all right? He's the Son of God, is He not? Isn't He the perfect Son of God? All right, verse 1 of chapter 5, be ye therefore, or in like manner, or because Christ did this, be ye therefore followers of God as dear children, and walk in love. All right, how, Paul? As Christ also hath loved us and hath given Himself for us. Given in love. Husband, and look at chapter 5 there. Ephesians chapter 5, verse 25. Husbands, love your wives, even as Christ also loved the church and time he talks, says love, he says give. Doesn't it? A man does not love his wife who does not freely give. A man who does not love to give freely to his wife does not love his wife. And vice versa. A woman who does not love to give and do for her husband does not love her. Isn't that right? Did Christ love His wife? How do we know? He didn't grudgingly give. He loved to give. And He gave. And He giveth again and more. He giveth more grace than a believer who does not love to give to the cause of Christ. Stand to reason. 1 John 3, listen to this. Don't have to turn now. You remember 1 John 3 where John said, if we, a man who has these earthly goods and seeth his brother in need and withholdeth these things, how dwelleth the love of God in him? John said, this is how love is shown. This is how love comes out. Give. Love. Important, isn't it? All right, look at verse 11 and 12 here in 2 Corinthians 8. Verse 11 and 12, here's another word. See if you can spot it. Now, therefore, perform the doing of it, that as there was a readiness to will, so there may be a performance also out of that which you have. For if there be first a willing mind, willingness. Look at the next chapter, chapter 9, verse 7. A willingness, and they go hand in hand. They're similar, they're the same. Verse 7. Every man according as he purposeth in his heart, so let him give, not grudgingly, or of necessity, or that is, because have to. For God loveth a cheerful giver. Somebody that wants to give, willing to give. Do you parents go if Sam? I ought to have all I need, too. That's just what dads are for. All right, she comes to you. Dad, I need help. I got a bill I just can't pay. Do you have a little extra? Do I have a little extra? Well, honey, I knew it all along. I was waiting. And often don't wait. You see the need, you give it anyway. You begrudge them. You ever begrudge your children come to you, Brother Joe? Gracious. You wouldn't love them if you did, would you? Cheerful. The like to do. Why?
don't love the baby. And if you had to, you'd mortgage your house, wouldn't you? Or have you? Huh? What can I do? Well, what do I have to do? Cheerful willingness. Willingness. Scripture says our God is ready to pardon. Ready. Willing. Delights to show mercy, the Scripture says. Waits to be gracious. He waits to be gracious. To this day, my dad's that way. He's just ready to help me if I call on. Never begrudging or does it out of necessity. Always cheerful to do so. What a statement this is here in verse 8, or verse 7. What a statement this is. Those last six words. For God loveth. God loveth. Loveth. God loveth. Cheerful kid. You want God? You want the love of God? You want God to love you? We know it's not conditional. We know that. Do I have to go back over this? We know that this is not conditional. The love of God is not. He loved us in that while we were yet sinners, before we knew Him, before the foundation of the world, God set His love upon us. His love is not conditional. Right? But this does say this, doesn't it? God loved it. Cheerful giver. And let me give an illustration here. Your children. The more generous they are with what you give them, the happier you are with them, the more pleased you are with them. Is that right? You love them. Nancy, you love your children unconditionally, don't you? You couldn't love them anymore. Huh? You love them with all your heart. You can't love them any more than that, can you? Huh? But are you not more pleased? Are you not just happy? Are you not just pleased when they show a little bit of that graciousness and charitableness? How are you not? Makes them, in our term, love them that much more. All right. What would be the opposite of that? God hates a miser, stingy person. What is it you hate in your children more than anything else? You don't hate them, but what is it that you absolutely despise? Selfishness. I remember when my daughter was very young. Toddler, you know, and she had $448,372. And there was somebody somebody poor. We found out the little girl didn't have any dolls, and we were trying to instill in her to give one of those dolls. But she kind of begrudged me. And it made me mad. And you know what I did? I got her favorite doll. I mean, the doll of her eye, apple of her eye, and took it away from her. You know, to this day, she still remembers that. The thing she remembers about my discipline. Mindy claims I never spanked her. I have. But Mindy did do more spanking than I, because she's simply around there more than I. But the thing that stuck in Hannah's mind more than any other thing was that I took away. It crushed her, killed her. Why? Because I caught her being selfish. That same way with our God. Hates a grudger. Loves a cheerful giver. We're going to see in a minute, whoever cheerfully and liberally gives, so does he. And it says that God's able. Look at verse 8. God is able, chapter 9, verse 8.
God is able to make all grace abound toward you. You say, I don't have this grace. Well, He's able to make it abound. The grace of giving. And back there in verse 11 of chapter 8, verse 11, look at it. It says, now, therefore, perform the doing of it. That as there was a readiness to will, so there be a performance. Just do it. Do it. I'd like to be able to do it. Do it. I wish I had more grace. Be it.
Do it.
Do it. Do it, and He'll bless you. You saying tithe, and God will bless you? No, I didn't say that. You hear me say the word tithe? We'll talk about that in a minute. Do it. Verse 12 says, there be first a willing mind, accepted according to the man hath, not according to the hath not. Do it. What you have. Do what you have. I hear my pastor talk about this pledge giving. You know how people on TV, and I don't know, maybe you've done it in the past, but pledge things. Sign a pledge card. That's corrupt. That's corrupt, like investing in the stock market. We're not called on to do what we have not. Give what we have not. That's presumption. Wicked pride. All right, look at the next word. 1 Corinthians 16. 1 Corinthians 16. Turn over there. And keep your place there in 2 Corinthians. 1 Corinthians 16. Look at verse 2. Here's the next word. Upon the first day of the week, let every one of you lay by him in store as God hath prospered him. Here's the next word, prosperity. How much am I to give, preacher? How much does the Bible tell me to give? How much you've been given? Says, as God has prospered you. But how much? How much? How much is God giving? Tithing is not taught in the New Testament. Our Lord only mentioned tithing 5 or 6 or 7 times, and every time it was in derision of the Pharisees. Every time. Every time. Says they pay tithes of mint, anise, and cumin and so forth. So careful about these little things that are omitted the way you're tithing. Well, tithing is not the rule for believers. Tithing in the Old Testament, Malachi in particular, but tithing was ordained by God. When was it ordained, you know? Back when the children of Israel were coming out of Egypt. When it started. It's ordained by God for a grudging bunch of unregenerate Jews. Where do we get that term Jew? Miser. That's what people mean. Jew and me, you know, you're a skin flint, a cheapskate, you know. What are you holding back, you know? God instituted tithing for a grudging bunch of unregenerate people to ensure that the needs of the tabernacle were met. There were needs, monetary needs, physical, material needs that had to be obtained, purchased, or whatever, for the tabernacle. And these bunch of Jews weren't going to do it. And God commanded it. How much? 10%. That's the very least. Very least. That wasn't much, was one tenth. That wasn't too much to ask. The very least, God very graciously and very mercifully commanded just a pittance, a tenth. Uncle Sam takes more than that, doesn't it? 10% is not giving. That's grudging. Giving is over and above that. Giving. It's our duty to meet the needs now. It's our duty to meet the needs of this people in this place. It's our duty.
Right.
Isn't our reasonable service? We must. It's our delight to give gifts. It's our duty to meet the needs. It's our delight to give. Give. Listen to this principle. He that hath been forgiven much will what? Alright? And if you love much, and you've been given much, you'll give much. It's just so. Our attitude, listen to this very carefully. Our attitude should be this. Should not be this. How much do I have to give? Our attitude should be, how much do I have to give? Did you catch that? Not how much do I have to give. It's how much do I have? How much do I have here to give? Now, the needs of this congregation are being met. They always have been. They always have been. Miraculous. We've been real tight at times. And like I said, I don't know. I really don't know. But well, look at chapter 8. Back in chapter 8. 2 Corinthians 8. Verse 7. Yeah, this is it. Verse 7, it says, as you abound in everything, the last line says, see that you abound in this grace also. We don't need to just be meeting the needs or getting by. We all have an abundance. We have abundance, yeah. We need to abound in it. We need to bountifully support. We support the missionary, but the people. How much do we give to Cody Gruber for having given his family to Mexico? Sold his house, Rick. Sold his house. Sold his car. Quit his job. Took his 3 lovely children down to a hostile land, didn't know the, just plunged in right now. They say it takes 3 or 4 baths a day because it's so hot. Those kids sent them to school, send those kids to a Mexican school, not knowing a word of the language. It'll break your heart. You reckon Winna, watching those babies get on that bus or walk to school, knowing what they're about to go through. White kids, the only ones there. How much would give Cody? Wouldn't you like to give Cody a couple grand a month? And tell him, this ain't enough, but what we have, we'll give you. We don't even support Bill Clark. Those Indian men, 13th Street, my father, 13th Street sent those Indian men I've been telling you about, sent them recently a check for about $500. And he wrote back and said, you know, that is 15 months salary for me. A year and a half. $500. Wouldn't you love for this church to have a couple extra to cast on the water? Well, I've been looking for the means to go on radio, maybe even TV in the future and all that, but if you look at the finances, stand going, well, let's talk about this. Well, not if we just freely give. Well, it's there. Come on. Yes. Doors open. Take it. Freely. Abound. Graciousness. All this takes gracious giving, doesn't it? Gracious giving. Not tithing. However, maybe if everybody do at least that much. Well, ask yourself. I'll ask myself. If everyone gave like I gave, could we buy the fuel oil and burn the light? Could we pay the bill? Well, look at 1 Corinthians 16 now. And I know I'm going a little over time, but is this needful? 1 Corinthians 16. Let me hurry. 1 Corinthians 16. We started a few minutes late. 1 Corinthians 16, verse 2 says, on the first day of the week, here's another word, first. First. All the way through Scripture, we're given this principle, firstlings of the flock. Why did God say on the first day of the week? What do you have left, Stan, on Saturday? I don't know if you get paid. You might get paid on Friday, but say you go and get paid on Friday and you wait till the next Saturday. What do you got left? First day of the week, lay by in store. Not after the bills are paid. This is a principle God has given all the way through. You give to God first. So what if I don't have enough money to pay my bills? What if I don't, what if I give this money and later on I got this bill coming up? I don't have... Try it! Look at Psalm 37. Psalm 37. No man has ever outgiven God Almighty. Psalm 37. My pastor quoted this, I about jumped the pew. Nobody has ever given too much so that they were poor because of it. Ever. David said, I'm an old man. Look at verse 25. Psalm 37:25. David said, I've been young, and now I'm old. Yet have I not seen ever one time in my 70 years the righteous forsaken, doing without, begging bread, a soup line, or for that matter, had to sell their house because they couldn't pay for it. Never! 70 years. David saw a lot more people than he looked at. He ruled a kingdom. Not once, not ever. But I said that. Now, we get in debt. We all get in debt, don't we? You're different than I. We get deep in debt sometimes. Wrongfully so. Should not do it. Then perhaps when we get in a state like that, we ought to be like that wise servant. Remember that wise servant our Lord came and said, you owe me, and he didn't have anything to pay. You remember that? You owe me. Where's what you owe me? He didn't have anything. What did he do? He went after all his creditors and debtors and all that, and gathered all the money he could, paid everything he could off, and gathered what he could, came back and paid what he could. Financially solvent, at least. Reorganized, refinanced. That's what he did. Why? So he could give. So he could give. So he could do what he ought to have done for him. We could do with an older car, so we could do more for the gospel. Sure, we could. Be content with such things as we have. Seek ye first. I'm going to preach from this Wednesday night. Seek ye first the kingdom of God and his righteousness. And all these things shall be added unto you. What things? All these things. Well, I'm going to seek a job. Seek Christ and you'll get a job. All this. Well, I'm going to get married. Marry Christ and he'll give you seek you first, the King. I tell you what, where is it? I didn't write it down. I think it's in, let me see if this is it. 2 Corinthians 9. 2 Corinthians 9. No, it's not this. Luke 6. Luke chapter 6, verse 38. Luke 6, verse 38. Look at this. This is wonderful. Wonderful. Look at it. Luke 6, 38. Everybody. You got it? Everybody got it? Luke 6, 38. Yeah. Now, this is our Lord talking. He doesn't ask questions, does he, Joe? He doesn't give advice. He gives command. He says, give, and it shall be given unto you. Good measure. It pressed down. Shaken together. You ever filled a bag full of leaves, been out raking leaves, huh? And you wanted to get as much as you could in a bag? What'd you do? You shook it. You pressed it down. Put some more leaves in there. And stomped on it. Shook it some more. Put some more. Stomp. That's what he said. You give. And it shall be given you. How much? Pressed down. Shaking it. Running over. My cup running over. Why do you think God gives us so much? We give in the abundance. We give out of the abundance. We give the excess. He knows us. With the same measure, verse 38, with the same measure you meet with all, it shall be measured unto you. And the next word is purpose. He says that every man is a God as he purposeth in his own heart. And I got to quit. Purpose. What is our purpose in all this anyway? In this life. Galatians says, well, we reap what we sow. Whatever we're after. Sow to the flesh. You want to be a rich man in this world? You can be it. Right? Right, Henry? If you work hard. No, Henry says, no, I've tried. I've worked 18, 20 hours a day. Well, thank God he didn't make you too rich. Well, the point I'm trying to make is if a man is willing to go for it, I mean really go for it, to invest everything he is and has into this world, he'll get rich. He sure would. But what was he at? Well, he's poor toward God. Well, we'll be rich in faith, rich in grace. Invest in it. Sow toward it. That's purpose. And unto the Lord. The last thing is unto the Lord. We give as unto the Lord. As unto the Lord. And that goes back. It comes back around, doesn't it? Back to love. How much we love Him. Give. Well, and giving is so much more than money, isn't it? Really. Writing a check is the easy part. It really is. It's the easy part. Give somebody a little money is the easy part. But give you time now. That's what this generation has a hard time coming up with. It. Time. Give ourselves. Oh, that's the greatest proof of love. This helped you in. Help me. All right. May God grant us this grace. All right.